Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dodge a nickel and a nickel's none. I throw myself into the Sunday sun. I saw my Sunday when you went insane. You said you're going, but I said I came. I'm throwing oranges in an apple cart. The ties that bind are tearing me apart. Jamie says, turn off the radio. Jamie says, turn off the light. Jamie says, turn off the video. Beat yourself up.
Just so you know, some of these have five different areas that need work, if you will, on their applications. So we did look at that. I don't believe it would change the scoring in any way from the public. But the recommendation was 88 points and higher. That was based on what we have done in the past. So that would be our Healthy Schools Escambia type of look when we were looking at that. That would have been definitely from our CARES grant process, which is really probably the more formal, larger competitive grant that we've been able to put out.
Okay, let's deal with the unimportant things first. This is at the Escambia Children's Trust meeting. That's Executive Director Lindsay Cannon talking. And the unimportant part is that whoever's wearing the brand new leather pants needs to get away from the microphone, okay?
88 points and higher. That was based on what we have done in the past. So
break those suckers in, man! Actually, what I'm sure that sound is, in fact, is the little podium-type mics that have the little metal sort of segmented cover over them. And when you move it, it does exactly that sound. And so I'm guessing that's what it is. It's funnier to me to imagine somebody with unbroken in leather pants. But anyway, what she's saying there, there's a lot to understand, but I want you to understand, and here's why. The Escambia Children's Trust got a lot of bad press in the first couple of years because it was a bleep show. I mean, it was a mess. It was not, kind of throwing money out the window and not a lot of controls and not a lot of good verification. And it was, it was a mess, okay? It was not run professionally. And it was one of those things where, in some cases, people got money for not doing much or anything. And you ask me my opinion, I think it was the great example of how, a government entity that has money, and a lot of it, can get taken advantage of by some people in the community. I don't want to say who, but I have theories, okay? Then, when all the kind of bad press and then all the fighting with the county over, who gets the funds and who has to pay them and control them, that wasn't a good look for them. Even though they were in the right on this, and I think the county commission was in the wrong, particularly County Commissioner Kohler was in the wrong about this, but that wound up being okay because they wound up using that money to help teenagers work for the county for the summer and summer youth employment program, and that's fine, okay? But then Lindsay Cannon came in. And Lindsay has been trying to make it right, professional, organized, so that when organizations come and apply, they check to make sure that the references are correct. They check to make sure that the claims are correct. They want to make sure that the numbers make sense. They verify results afterwards. So it's not just that you're only giving money for particular reasons to entities that should be getting it, but then actually they get effective results at the end. The way the thing is actually supposed to work. And for the last couple of years, she's been working to rein that in at least a year now, maybe 2 years now. Anyway, we're about 5 years into it, so I think that got my timeline about right. Well, one of the things that okay, that's part one. Part two, and I think she's been doing a great job. Part two is that you've got these sort of committee meetings, and then you've got the main meeting, which is true of a lot of government entities. And by the way, they are not subordinate to the county. They are not subordinate to the city. The notion that the county is going to exert authority over them or oversight is not part of the package. It's an independent government agency. The Escambia Children's Trust is a board of members who oversee this funding. And that's why when they kind of get called in the principal's office and you discover, well, they're not really the principal after all. They're just like the neighbors, basically. Call to the neighbor's office to get scolded when they go to the county commission. But okay, fine. committee meetings then make recommendations on things like which programs would get funded. And there was a prior meeting before this Children's Trust General Board meeting where there was a lot of dust up over scoring and over the technical scoring, which is the did you sign the form and did you include the right documents and, you know, is it 12-point Arial font or whatever. You know, it's all the just did you get the basics right. That's different from whether the program is a good program to fund. And, of course, if you do not do the technical part right, it's hard to give you a regular score at all because we don't know. And they had a conversation about whether grants would get approved by those boards and then kind of that would be the end of it or whether they would come before the main board to actually get voted on. And there was also a question of what level of scoring. They get 110 points total on their actual score for grants, and 80th percentile of B would be 88. 80 points, and there would be a little bit lower threshold, but that's also what they've been going for. Okay, so that's as much backdrop as you need to know before we get into, you know, what the conversation was and why it got to be a fairly, John, what do I always say? I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't interesting.
You are
right.
It's going
to get interesting, okay? Oh. Not necessarily right here, but it's, you know, some get to the 80 threshold, some get to the 88. There's a bunch of people in the community who want to get money, and they didn't get it when they thought they were, and they're upset sometimes because they claim they should have gotten it. I would say they had false expectations, or it was told to them that, hey, you can get this money real easy, and then they didn't get it. There's a question of how much to give. You know, the ones that really score highly, you're going to give $350,000. They have like $11 million a year to work with, so it's a lot. But organizations that don't score quite as well, but we kind of want to fund startups, you know, experiments, and we want to create capacity for helping these kids out of school time. So we're willing to be a little bit lenient with the smaller kind of micro grants in the maybe $50,000 vicinity range. Okay, so they're just trying to figure out what to do. There's already been a pretty involved prior meeting to this, and Lindsay Cannon's like, okay, we got to figure this out. You guys need to make a decision about the 80 or the 88. You got to make a decision about what the fund. We got to do this now because parents need to know what's coming. And then we got into kind of the weird territory. Stephanie White, who is the Grants Committee chair, she is the vice chair of the board itself, and this is talking about the Grants Committee meeting prior.
So I misunderstood the motion, and I thought the motions, I'll take the blame. That I misunderstood the motion. I thought the motion was to take everything to the board, let the board decide. I didn't feel like it was right for just five of us when there's a lot of money to not let the whole board decide. So I will take the fault for not clarifying the motion.
So did she misunderstand or not? There was kind of this like Lumen May's side of the equation seems to have wanted just to have the committee approve it and that'd be the end of it. She seems to have wanted that they'd bring it before the whole board to have everybody decide because, you know, that's why they exist, is to approve these grants. And I would tend to side with that interpretation. But apparently there was a miscommunication of some sort, and she's saying, I'll take the blame. It wasn't that clear, the motion that we approved.
We can't just hand out money to any organization. We've tightened up our policies, as you said, for a reason.
Correct.
We've been in the paper when we hadn't tightened our policies up.
Also correct.
We got, you know, there were bad things that happened. And so we have to tighten our policies up. We're not trophies. We don't just hand out participation awards. And taxpayers have entrusted us to be financially responsible with their dollars.
That's exactly right. We're not just rewarding good intentions. We're rewarding programs that are really ready to go for prime time. And as Lindsay's going to explain later, we are a government entity with tax dollars. We are not a charity. We have obligations to do this right. And it was not done right for the first couple of years.
Over the past several grant cycles, as you said, Ms. Cannon, that we've awarded organizations that received a B grade and above, which is a score of 80 and above. My recommendation is that we do the same thing. We do an 80 and above. We take out the bonus points, and that we look at an 80 and above, and we award those who got an 80 and above. So that's my recommendation.
Oh, and there was also an add-in. I forget the bonus points thing. There were a couple of considerations for why people would get a little bump, 5 or 10 points help. And again, if somebody else gets it, why didn't we get it? There was also the idea that maybe we should just try to kind of fund everybody. And a lot of organizations did not apply because they didn't think they'd be able to get the money. But if they thought everybody's going to get approved, they would have applied. So you're kind of pissing them off if you just throw the money out the window of the bus.
So I made the motion, and you know, I don't know if I'm as articulate as others, but it was very clear on what the motion was to bring exactly what you said to the board for further discussion. Because without question, I mean, I respect the grant staff for, you know, making the recommendation, but the ultimate responsibility is this board. And in my opinion, there is some inconsistency in a very subjective way of how they were scored, and so I want to go those scores.
So Lumen is complaining that the things were not scored right, the technical scores weren't right, the actual grant application scores weren't right, there was arbitrary scores given or demerits given. One of the issues is that I think it was Tori Woods, she had been on the board, and she gave a zero to the county and the city, which are, you know, major players in all of this, because she thought that they should already be doing their thing or their stuff should already exist and we should be funding new things. You would have thought Lumen would like that, but apparently he hated it because he's always squealing about how they ought to fund new things. So he scolded her. This is in the prior meeting, and she resigned from the board. So there's been some drama. And there's actually a back meeting that I need to get to listen to maybe be able to tell you a little bit more about this, but I've got this one to work with today. So, and now he's upset because Stephanie's saying that the motion they agreed to was not clear and it meant different things. He's like, it was clear. I said it. I know what I said.
And, candidly, when we started this grant, we were here to build capacity. We hired staff to build capacity. And when we look at the people that we funded, it was the same people that we had funded consistently. And when we started this, we said we were going to build capacity in neighborhoods, in communities, didn't have it. And so that way we have to give people opportunity.
Okay, giving money to big programs who know how to help kids, that's obviously a good thing because you're going to get good results, however. Those programs already know how to do this, and why should the extra tax be put in for the Escambia Children's Trust to fund programs that already work? We should be helping the smaller, newer, untested, you know, experimental, you know, people, entrepreneurial, people who are willing to try something new. That's going to be his claim, along with the claims that the scoring wasn't done well and there's been bias in politics and all of this. And how dare you say that it wasn't clear what I said?
I made the motion to have further discussion. And it doesn't mean that we have to give someone $350,000. But when are we going to start giving someone $50,000? You are competitively, whether you have Children's Home Society, the YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, you need to take the city or county and try to make them compete at the same level that we are holding maybe some of these grassroots organizations. In my opinion, it's candidly unfair. And they will never get a chance. And we continue to let Walmart about all the mom and pops. We will never have a mom and pop in our neighborhood. So to me, that's unfair.
Big organizations with a track record are like Walmart, little organizations that are new, novel, experimental, untested. Maybe they don't have the most professional application. Maybe they don't show so well when they show up to the grants committee and start to answer questions, which, by the way, that committee is not there to ding people. It's there to flesh out applications, which were not quite, you know, fully done. And they have done so much to help these organizations. There's like, I mean, weeks worth of help that they've offered them and, you know, hey, help, let us help teach you how to do this. Let us help you make sure that these checkboxes are followed. Make sure that you're following up with your kid. You know, all the things that the Escambia Children's Trust is really supposed to be doing to cultivate and help these organizations, they have been doing. On the other side of the ledger, the Children's Trust is something that is, you know, near and dear to Lumen's heart. That's why he's on this board. Ask me my read on the situation. I think he's promised a lot of people that they'll be able to get a lot of money to do a lot of programs. And it hasn't turned out the way they expected, and he's getting heat from them. And so now he's here complaining about the process because, you know, the people that thought they were going to be able to do this and make money off of it and help kids, you know, that hasn't worked out the way they were felt promised. And now he's here trying to get things done more that way. Now, the uncharitable version of that is that Lumen wants to control this ability for people to make money and also make a difference. But this is a program that he's politically very invested in for his community. The more charitable version is that Lumen just wants to see all these kids helped, and, you know, he's frustrated that they're not being able to give out the money in a way that's going to help as many kids. You have to decide what you believe. But my take on this is he's a little bit too worked up with a little bit too little information. He's come to the board here, and he's throwing allegations without the justification for it, and he hasn't asked the right questions yet. He showed up to the meeting unprepared, which I like Lumen. I get along well with him, but that's a problem he has, is he does not do the research. When he shows up to the Board of County Commissioners meeting, it's very common that he hasn't read the backup. I mean, I'm not telling you anything that anybody who watches the county commission meetings doesn't already know. that's just true. I wish it weren't. I wish he would do more of his homework, but that's a fact. So he shows up in this meeting, and he's throwing allegations, and he's upset because, you know, he doesn't really have the knowledge that he should have coming into it.
And if we are here to help children, we have to help the organizations as well. That's why I made that motion, Stephanie, to come have this. And now people going around, oh, it was all confusing. I mean, read the minutes. I mean, I did not speak Ebonics. I was very clear on the way in which the motion.
You catch that's an allegation that there's racism in this?
On the way in which the motion was made, people had the right to vote. Now, people can lobby and do whatever they want to do and go behind it. I still stand on that. On these grassroots organizations, we are funding, and I'll go on record, we are funding the same organizations over and over again. We're funding organizations that had capacity, after-school program, outreach programs, long before the trust, and those that have never had capacity don't have the opportunity to do that.
So what I can't quite tell in all this is whether he's trying to tank the Children's Trust because he's not getting out of it what he wants, whether he's trying to sort of threaten them, whether he's illegitimately frustrated that they're doing their job and aren't just throwing money at the organizations that shouldn't really be getting it that he supports or has told people they should be able to get money through, or whether he's legitimately complaining. And see, what I think is, the Children's Trust, especially under Lindsay Cannon, has really bent over backwards to do well, do it right, bring in controls, be effective, and help those who show promise but don't yet have it up to snuff in order to get the money, and to help those and that people still aren't doing it right, and they can't just throw the money out because there's people asking. And that's where the disagreement is here. He wants them to give out the money to kind of everybody. They're trying to give out the money prudently, wisely, and responsibly, and that's where I think the impasse is. So there'll be another part to this coming up at 7 o'clock, but that's it for now. We're partway there. I told you that'd be interesting. If you're thinking about going out to eat today and you've got a sweet tooth on and you're trying to, what can I do that I've maybe tried before? We recommend Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery next to the Starbucks and the Chick-fil-A on Bayou. Slow-churned, creamy, flavorful, handmade ice cream. Yeah, I'll say it slow because it takes a while to make. Birthday cake flavor, cookies and cream, salted caramel, vanilla bean, blue monster, cooler, chocoholic. That's the ice cream. Then they also have cupcakes. Oh, the cupcakes are so good. Red velvet, lemon drop, wedding cake, pink vanilla, hot fudge, Sunday birthday cake, gourmet, interesting combinations, all handmade. They do catering, they do weddings, they do parties, freshly baked gourmet cupcakes. Their slogan is, hey, maybe a cupcake will help. So stop in today at the Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery next to the Starbucks and the Chick-fil-A on Bayou and 9th.
Please be advised. You may want to stop eating the following foods immediately. Broccoli, kale, bean sprouts, blueberries, quinoa, spinach.
Wait, what? I thought those were good for me.
Turns out, not for everyone. Because what's healthy for one person can cause inflammation for another. And the only way to really know what your body needs is to listen to it.
Listen how?
That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to understand what's happening inside you right now. When your results come in, you'll learn exactly which foods to eat, which to avoid, and which supplements are right for you, all based on the world's largest RNA-based human biology database and thousands of clinical research studies. And many people who use Viome report more energy, better digestion, and a better mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing. Learn more at Viome.com/gut. V as in Victor, Viome.com/GUT. And use coupon code GUTHEALTH50 to save $50 off your purchase. Viome. Trust your gut.
Join Corey Miller from Goodwill Gulf Coast today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel for their inaugural show. They will be discussing services which are available free to the community and how Goodwill can serve you. Topics will range from education, employment, resources, and more. Text or call in your questions today and go online to goodwillgulfcoast.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins.
NBR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Finish him. Liu Kang wins. Flawless victory. Fatality.
Somebody told her that there was a place like heaven. Across the water on a 747. Yeah, we're living in a modern world.
gets into Artaguler, their big star. Pulisic, the USA's big star, gets nutmegs. Guler still trying to get in. Chance for a cross. Comes back to the top of the box. Now it's clipped in at the backside. Matt Turner with Stockholm. Turkey A score the winning goal in the 98th minute. It might be going home tomorrow, but they're going wild now.
It was over. USA scored first, and then they got Turkey got an equalizer. I'm not saying it that other way, Turkey A or whatever. Then they got an equalizer pretty quick in the first half. Then Turkey went ahead 2-1. USA got a goal denied on an offsides call. Nobody in the whole world even understands this rule. Then Turkey at the 98th minute. That's 90 minutes plus the 8. You know, they're keeping time. It's a little throw in, kick around, a little looper up into the air over to the left side, back through three Americans. One got a foot in it, and a Turkish player kicked it in. A 15-second later, it was all over. This doesn't matter for anything, but it is a humiliating loss for the United States.
Fox News, I'm Roxanne Evans. Iran striking a vessel in the Strait of Hormuz, compromising efforts to restore shipping through the important waterway.
U.S. officials say the Singapore-flagged cargo ship called Ever Lovely was exiting the Strait of Hormuz off the Omani coast Thursday when it was hit by one IRGC drone. The IRGC's Navy has warned vessels will only be allowed to pass in routes that Iran has approved.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Rescue efforts intensifying in Venezuela following two major earthquakes yesterday. The death toll now over 230. President Trump returns to Washington Hilton later today for the first time since the attempted assassination at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The president to headline the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Conference. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 74 degrees, cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola City employees have spent a lot of this week putting together public records for the Florida Department of Government Efficiency. The deadline for those documents is today. Mayor D.C. Reeves says it's been a big lift for staff members.
I want to give a big thanks to our finance department and all of the departments, HR and everybody else that has to drop what they're doing. And it's a lot of documents to put together that are due this Friday.
This is the second records request the city has received from the state's efficiency office. The mayor said the city has no concerns about what that review will find. As an outside audit completed less than a month ago came back clean, the city does say that any agency or citizen is welcome to request public documents at any time. Two people are facing charges after a 10-month investigation into a copper theft ring that stripped light poles on bridges and along local interstates. Pensacola police say 37-year-old David Nielsen and 31-year-old Rayanne Horn stole about $250,000 worth of copper, about 100,000 feet in total. Nielsen jumped into Bio Chico to evade arrest before eventually being caught by FWC and PPD's SWAT team. Police say the theft is why the lights over the Barrancas Bridge over Bio Chico have been out now for several months. Additional arrests are expected in that case. Well, the federal indictment of Pensacola Beach doctor Edward Scott Morrison marks the fifth pill mill case in Northwest Florida, and that's in just 2 years. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons told Channel 3 he's had enough of it. Morrison faces 41 counts for allegedly prescribing more than 25,000 controlled substance pills without having a legitimate medical justification. The arrest was part of a national health care fraud takedown that netted 90 doctors across the country. Simmons says that these medical professionals are fueling the region's opioid crisis, called their actions despicable. Morrison has pleaded not guilty. He was released with a GPS monitor. If he's convicted, he could face up to 20 years in prison on each count. Well, the city of Pensacola and Escambia County are making progress on the proposed Bay Center convention facility expansion, although officials do say there is still a lot of work to do. A consulting agency is currently working on a deeper look at what the second facility should include, specifically how much ballroom, meeting space, and hospitality amenity space would really make sense. The city has also had what officials describe as productive conversations with ownership of the Grand Hotel about their potential role in the bigger development picture. The county is also moving forward with procurement of an owner's representative to help guide both governments through the next steps. So far, no vote or formal commitment has been made by either government. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a small chance of rain today, 20% overall, high near 90 degrees, feeling warmer with the humidity. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 81. For Saturday, 10% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Going into Sunday, sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
74 degrees, your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
With your money now. Microsoft said it's increasing the price of Xbox game consoles after Apple announced price hikes for MacBooks and iPads due to surging costs for the components. Starting August 1st, Xbox Series S consoles containing 512 gigabytes of storage will go up by $100 to about $500 total. Models with 1 terabyte of storage will increase by $150. On Semiconductor said it is buying Synaptics for nearly $7 billion in its largest acquisition ever. The deal accelerates On Semiconductor's push into physical artificial intelligence. Technology companies are hitting acquisition mode in a race to strengthen AI capabilities. Samsung Group will pledge $648 billion in South Korea over the next decade in a sweeping effort to turn a global AI-driven chip boom into a nationwide growth engine. The Mail Business newspaper reports that top executives from Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix will attend a meeting with President Lee Jae-myung and lay out investment plans. Futures are moderately lower. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
What you want, what you want, what you gonna do when you set me down?
right, howdy. Now, I'm going to be a little bit meaner than them, so please don't violate my rights. Normally, I wouldn't come to a city council meeting. I'm one of the county's pains in the ass. Historically, I stay out of the city, and the city stays out of my business. It was a pretty decent arrangement. But then y'all sent me one of these tickets from one of your AI red light cameras you have deemed as necessary infrastructure in your city. Thing about this is I was in Seminole, Alabama at the time I allegedly ran this red light downtown. How can I be in two places at once, you ask? Don't worry, I asked myself that too. Outside of Scotty beaming me up 30 miles in an instant, the only logical conclusion is I wasn't there.
So this is Jacob Rockwell. He spoke, at this point, I would say internet famously, at the Pensacola City Council meeting about these terrible red light cameras and, you know, how AI and surveillance and the Chinese. The premise of his presentation was, I was in Alabama while you're telling me I was running a red light in Pensacola. And I think, you know, former city councilwoman Ann Hill, who's running for mayor against D.C., she and her daughter Teresa, they had posted this on her page. And I think it got like 10 million views. I mean, it's insane. It got picked up by Not the Bee, the Babylon Bee's actual site, you know, and some other places had noticed this around the area. But like any good piece of storytelling, it might be that there are other facts that need to be brought out. So here we have Mike Wood. He is the Pensacola Police Department's public information officer, who was also quoted in that Not the Bee article, by the way. Mike Wood, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
You didn't know that you were an agent of Chinese surveillance and spy state, did you?
I do now. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, Jacob Rockwell says, how can you give me a ticket? I wasn't even in Pensacola. What do we know?
Well, if you're going to tell a story and try to get attention and get your 15 minutes in the limelight, you need to tell the truth because it can come back and bite you. And that's what happened here. So, this individual, what he failed to tell everyone was that he loaned his car to a friend, and the friend did, in fact, run the light, and the offense actually did happen. And this happens often. And when we find out, if they fill out the affidavit on who was driving that vehicle, then the citation gets sent to them. Now, this is similar to who gets a parking ticket if a vehicle is parked in front of a fire hydrant or any other parking violation. The issuer of the citation did not see who parked the car, but the citation was made out to the registered owner. And according to Florida State Statute 316.0083, which is the Mark Wendell Traffic Safety Act that was enacted in 2010 after Mr. Wendell was involved in a fatal red light crash in Sarasota, the act says the registered owner of the vehicle, as the registered owner of the vehicle, you are deemed responsible for the violation and the payment unless they submit the affidavit identifying the actual driver.
So the law says that you're responsible for the misuse of your car if you loan it to somebody else. And it wasn't that he wasn't in Pensacola, which might be true, but the implication that nor was his car is false. The car itself was. I've seen the video. Channel 3 did a pretty good report on this as well. And the car did run the red light. The question then is, when you get the ticket as the owner, what do you do? And right there on the citation, it's got a place for you to say, I wasn't driving it. Here's who was, right?
And that's all you have to do. And it's important to know that this is not going to – this is a civil citation. It's not going to affect your driving history or anything like that. So, you know, it's $158. And, you know, a lot of people were complaining that a police officer actually needs to do this so they can see who's driving. Well, the problem – and we can do that. The problem with that is the ticket, when a police officer issues it, is double the amount. It's $258.
And as you and I and the mayor and the police chief and the former police chief and the police chief before that, and everybody, we talked about this so many times, the basic problem we have in Pensacola is that people run red lights a lot, and there is no effective physical officer presence mechanism for making this work. And the cost would be prohibitive, the number of officers you need to task to it, just the issues of being able to prove that they were over the white line when the light was red, and then being able to catch them and all of the... The red light camera actually does this very effectively, very efficiently, and has issued a lot of, as you say, non-moving citations that don't go on your license.
Yeah, and I'm one of the officers that reviews these violations, and every violation is reviewed by an officer. So it's not like a police officer, a Pensacola police officer, has nothing to do with this, because they do. We have to approve them, and I'll do about 50 of these a day and throw out 3 or 4, 5, 6 of them for various reasons. I mean, if it's close, if it's something that could go either way, then I'm going to toss it out. But in this particular case, this vehicle was not even in the frame yet when the light turned red. It wasn't even close, and it was obviously that the violation occurred.
So have you been in communication at all with Jacob Rockwell? Because he acknowledged as much with Channel 3 that it was, you know, not it, that, you know, he wasn't here, but the car was. At least that's what I remember. So he's admitted this. He's not denying that somebody else was driving the car. Have you communicated with him? Do we know anything about the process? I mean, what more do we not know?
There's going to be a hearing if he wants to go that route, or they can just, one of them can decide to pay the $158, and it's a dead issue at that point.
Oh, so he's refusing to sign the affidavit identifying the person who was driving the car?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay. But if he did, it would go against him, and if he identifies the person, it would go against the other person, and under the statute that you mentioned a moment ago, Florida law allows for pursuing him for the violation done with his authorization to use the car. Is that the short of it?
Yeah, it is. But when you say go against, it's important to know that it's not going to go against your license or anything like that. It's just a fine. That's all it is.
Okay, so when we talk about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that whole truth part is kind of important.
It's very important. Facts matter in the business that we're in.
Yeah, and a video can go mega viral and not contain the whole truth, and maybe when it did, it wouldn't be quite as exciting. All right, well, we'll continue in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. That's why I have waited to talk about this, because I wanted to, you know, do good journalism and get to both sides, which Channel 3 also did. So that's how I prefer to approach things. And by the way, I know that Jacob Rockwell and many others have arguments, constitutional questions, right to confront your accuser, presumption of innocence, and all that, which the courts can certainly handle. But the short version is that the police are there to enforce the law as it actually exists, which is what PPD has done in this case. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. You know, if people could see what we see, the horrendous crashes that are caused by this, the devastation to people and families that's caused by this, I think they might think a little bit differently about it. And, you know, suffice it to say that maybe many of these people that are complaining about it, and I understand the privacy issues and that sort of thing, may not have had a family member involved in something like this, but it's traumatic. It's, you know, traffic crashes are the biggest killer in the city of Pensacola, and the city of Pensacola, the police department, we're all trying to do something about it, to make things better, to make our roads safer, and that's what this is about.
You know, and also, just as a side note, editorializing, I was thinking, well, what could you do to avoid the problem of not being able to identify the driver? Well, I mean, you could just have a facial recognition software camera at the front side taking pictures of everybody on it, and I would think they would be more offended at that.
let's start that.
Nobody's interested in doing, and the chief has even said he doesn't like, you know, Chief Winstrom has even said he doesn't like facial recognition software. So anyway, it's an interesting one politically. You had some issues at Bayview Park with e-bikes?
Yeah, there's some reckless driving going on there. There's some, the people that live in that area that frequent the park have made complaints about the vehicles, the bicycles, if you will, going pretty fast. Tearing up the grass or causing trails in the park, and so it's become a mess. And now the city has installed signage there, which prohibits any motorized vehicle in the park, and we're hoping that people will abide by those signs. And you know, if not, we'll have to take it another direction. But we're going to educate people first if we see that those are violations going on, and let them know they're not supposed to be in there before we do anything else. You know, education is the key. A lot of people may not realize it. So we want to make sure they do, and if we encounter them a second time, then we may have to go a different direction. Hopefully we won't have to do that.
And even beyond what's going on in the parks and making sure that people don't do that, just worth reminding people that these very fast e-bikes above 750, whatever it is, watts, I think is the number, above a certain speed, these are not bicycles under Florida law. They are actually motor vehicles. They need to be licensed. You need to have a license, and you need to follow all the rules of where you drive those like you're driving it on a road, right?
Yeah, and there's some more coming down, I think, from Tallahassee, some more legislation, and I believe the city council is also looking at some more rules coming down the pike. So we'll have to see what happens there, but something needs to be done. The park needs to be safe for everyone that
Absolutely.
Goes there.
You had a burglary that was a little more interesting than the ordinary. What happened?
This is a burglary in the 400 block of Dittmar, which is a business. It's a warehouse. We were assisted by the Sheriff's Office K-9 unit. We do appreciate that. And they located the suspect inside. And when they located him, he didn't have any clothes on. We're not real sure what was going on with that. But he was arrested without injury or further incident.
So breaking and entering and disrobing would be the technical challenge here.
Well, we just have question marks above our heads sometimes when we encounter things like that and wonder what was going on. But it's not our job to completely figure that out, and we're just glad that there was no resisting or anything like that involved.
How certain are you this is not some latest TikTok challenge?
Well, we're not. I mean, we don't want to be the first one to start it, but I can't, you know, we don't know. We hope it's not.
Well, you know, I'll just leave it at that. So anyway, other things. Oh, the bright lights on the camera array that was by Vinyl on Garden and Palafox. What's the deal there? I saw the post. I saw the explanation. What's the story?
Well, they're blue lights. They're just indicating that it belongs to the police department. There's cameras there that's monitoring the intersection for traffic issues or pedestrian issues or just anything else that needs to be looked at in there. It's just identifying who that trailer belongs to and what it's there for.
All right, fair enough. Donut Strike for Mana, was it yesterday started officially?
So yesterday we were at Apple Market on Scenic Highway, and they still have a table there that's set up with all the items on it that we're looking for donations. But today we will be at East Hill Publix, and then Friday we will be at the Walmart on Creighton Road. And this is a great initiative that we're always involved in. We have a lot of fun with it, but it's a very serious issue getting this food together for folks that need it. And we are us and the Pensacola Fire Department, we're glad to be a part of it every year.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Mana. I love that they do this. They've been doing it now for several years. Gosh, I mean, what, 7 or 8 at least, I think, something like that.
Oh, yeah, every bit of it.
Have you seen any fellow officers eat a donut?
Well, better not, because if I have to suffer, they got to suffer. I mean, this is torture.
Do you have an internal policy for discipline if a donut and a cop do come together, even inadvertently?
Then that's what's going to happen.
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second. What's going to happen?
You know, we have that policy. If you see something, say something, and that's what's going to happen. We'll say it all right.
Or if they eat something, you say something could be the way to go. All right, very good. Last, we always like to – oh, no, quickly. In California, I think you might have seen the story. I don't know, but they sent a drone in to a barricaded suspect who had a knife and was, I guess, threatening his own life. This drone had a magnet on it, electromagnet, I'm assuming, and it grabbed the knife out of his sleeping hands and rendered him harmless to himself so that they could go in and get him safely. Did you see this? Does PPD have a knife-grabbing drone magnet they can use?
Not at the moment, but I did see it, and that was pretty cool. The guy was asleep. When he's awake, it might be a different situation, but he was asleep, and they handled that perfectly. If you haven't seen the video, go to YouTube and take a look at it. It's very impressive.
Very good. Last thing we always like to do is a cop myth or a did you know. A lot of times in TV and movies or in ordinary conversation, somebody will say, well, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law, meaning that whoever's got the thing is, you know, almost certain to be able to retain possession of the thing. I suspect you have some thoughts about that phrase.
Yeah, I mean, we've made arrests before. Every officer down here can tell you that they find drugs in someone's pants pocket. They say, well, these are not my pants. That happens a lot. Yeah, I'm plenty familiar with that.
And so if people have an illegal substance, possession can work against them. But if they have a stolen item, it does not do anything particularly for them that they have it in their possession. That doesn't settle the issue of property ownership, right?
Most likely, no.
Very good. What's that?
Most likely, no. But every case is different, you know.
It depends whether you're talking about a stolen laptop or, let's say, a purloined donut. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for putting up with my silliness. I appreciate you keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate that. And can I say one thing?
Yes,
we want to give a shout out to Alan Turner Hyundai, who just donated a large amount of money to us to purchase a new canine, and we do appreciate that.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's outstanding. Thank you for the heads up. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon, sir. There you go. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. I know because we went there several years ago now. Gosh, it's been, what, like 9 years? I don't know. It's been a long time. But we went because we wanted to test drive a Honda Odyssey. And the reason we want to test drive is because we're the kind of people that do research and then make a decision and then eventually actually buy the car. We knew we needed to replace our Dodge Grand Caravan that we'd had since our oldest was born, and it was going, but it wasn't gone. It had a head gasket that we'd probably need to replace or, you know, get rid of the car in 6 months. But we couldn't drive one. Couldn't drive one of these Hondas. And, you know, the pre-owned certifieds were either bought once they were cleaned, or you couldn't drive them until they were clean. And, like, it was this chicken and egg problem. We could not find one. We found one. We called it our unicorn. It happened to be the color we want. It happened to be the trim level that we want. It was a great price. It was a year old with 13 or 12,000 miles on it. And so, you know, we asked them if they could come down on the price, and they did, and come down on the price, and they did, and we bought it. I mean, we were just trying to test drive a car, but we couldn't say no to such a great deal. And it was just so easy. So easy to buy, so great the follow-up. They treated us like we'd never really been treated by anybody who ever sold us a car before. And so that's why I love them, because they do it right. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
And you're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Very interesting development yesterday. It's a little bit of a small story, but Governor DeSantis has finally issued his first vetoes. He hadn't vetoed anything yet, and of course, we're still waiting to see what the guillotine of the line item veto brings for the budget. You know, one never knows, but one can suspect. Anyway, he vetoed the e-scooter bill, the e-mobility bill, the one that would have restricted the e-bikes and e-scooters to 10 miles an hour on a multi-use path or a sidewalk. And basically what he said, in fact, I think I have it here. I can read it for you. I actually agreed with his reasoning on this. It's the criticism that we have been raising and even, you know, like Chip Simmons have been, you know, raising all along, which is how are you going to enforce that? Anyway, he said Senate Bill S-382 prohibits electric bikes, e-bikes from operating at a speed greater than 10 miles an hour within 50 feet of a pedestrian. If the bill establishes a standard that would certainly be difficult for a bicyclist to measure when safely operating an e-bike, so you wouldn't know you're in violation. Violators would be guilty of a non-moving traffic violation subject to fines surpassing $100, a violation that would inevitably be enforced with speed detection and surveillance devices. Separately, the bill creates a micro-mobility device task force with no sunset date to recommend limitless regulations related to e-bikes. This bill will likely lead to enhanced surveillance by local governments against citizens. Moreover, the bill creates a task force, yet substantive changes are also implemented prior to any task force recommendations. For these reasons, I withhold my approval of Senate Bill 382 and do hereby veto the same. I agree with him. The bill was sloppy. The bill is not well-tailored for the real world. And even though I very much think that these e-mobility devices do need some hefty regulation, I don't think this was the right way to do it. So I actually agree with him about this. It was kind of funny because the Gray Robinson, the political consulting firm that works with the county and also works with the chamber, and I forget who else they work with, but they go to Tallahassee and represent. And they gave a briefing at both the Chamber of Commerce meeting that we had a big show about yesterday for during Pep Talk, but also at the Board of County Commission meeting. And they're talking about, man, it's kind of a weird year where no bills passed and nothing's gotten vetoed. Not anymore, sir. We've had a couple of, and they, I mean, they're very, they know this. I'm not telling them they don't already know. They were saying it at the time. It was true, and it just has become untrue since. So there you go. Coming up next hour. Why did the World Cup get canceled by Brother Andrew?
Local news. Find out every hour.